There's a very famous saying by Saint Augustine that says, "We were fooled by the wisdom of the serpent, but we were saved by the foolishness of God." We were fooled by the wisdom of the serpent, but we were saved by the foolishness of God. So when we look at the readings this weekend, they involve wisdom and they involve foolishness, all symbolised very powerfully in the parable that Jesus gave to his disciples. The emphasis on staying awake because you don't know the day or the hour, that was added after Jesus' resurrection. It was added some time later. It wasn't a part of his original conversation. So that's a post-resurrection piece that's been put in there. The wisdom literature, for the main part, was written quite late in the history of Judaism. Where you heard today from the Book of Wisdom, they call that the Wisdom of Solomon. Solomon was many hundreds of years before that was written. This was written about 100 years before Jesus was born. The wisdom literature in the Old Testament comprises 5 major books and 12 of the 150 Psalms. So what it is, it's a collection of moral thought, it's a collection of values and ways in which to live life so that people would honour God and each other, live by the law, and they would show what we would have called when we were younger, just the common values of respect and decency that a society needs in order to function well and in a harmonious way. So there are a whole lot of little sayings in there. With the wisdom literature that you've heard today, one of the beautiful things about it is that wisdom is always referred to in the feminine. So it's described as, for those who seek wisdom, she waits. Wisdom waits. Wisdom does not impose. Wisdom proposes. Much like the Catholic Church. We do not impose. We propose. And that's the way wisdom comes. And there's those beautiful images in there. So what is wisdom? What is a wise person? Those who love her. Those who seek her. Those who love wisdom. In other words, those who don't wish to be foolish. Those who seek to be wise, those who are ready to watch and wait patiently, those who are prudent, those who in their watching, they keep vigil. That's why the image of the bridesmaids waiting for the bridegroom and bride to return are used in that gospel. And those who meet people where they're at rather than project themselves onto others. Wisdom draws out the best in us, not only in what we aim for, but in the way in which we practice not just our faith, but our whole life. So it looks to the future, but it is realistic. And that's how we must look at our life as Christians. We must live in the present. People who dwell on the past are, for the main part, relatively unhappy. And we all have unhappiness in our life, events in our life that have not gone the way we would have liked them to have gone. But if we dwell on those, we tend to become stagnant. Wisdom waits. Wisdom is a life-giving thing and an ongoing thing. Wisdom is not a full stop. Wisdom is sometimes a dash, perhaps a comma. Wisdom draws us into the present moment by using our 5 senses to look at the reality of our life here and now, to look at the reality of the person or the people that I'm with here and now, and we may at times get a glimpse of perhaps the future. We may. But wisdom in a relationship, for example, when two people fall in love, wisdom is present there and then. Wisdom does not exercise itself by saying, well, now I've married him or now I've married her, I'm going to get her or him to change these things. If you wanted those things changed, then it wasn't wisdom that drew you together, it was something else. Wisdom helps us accept the strength and the weakness in our situation where we are now. Wisdom opens possibilities for us to see perhaps a better way ahead. Wisdom looks for company, but when we're on our own, wisdom says that I can be happy enough in my own company. I can be peaceful enough in my own company. But if I'm in a relationship, and we are all in a relationship of some kind, wisdom opens our ears and eyes. Wisdom teaches us not to say as much, but to listen. That's why the beautiful image of wisdom in the first reading, she waits at the gate. So waiting at the gate could be us leaving or could be us waiting to return, to come home, to enter. Could be either way. Wisdom is a tool in our life that makes our life what it is. So when we look at the opposite of wisdom, and in scriptural terms this weekend, the word is foolishness. So when we look at the times that we've been foolish in our life, we have been unwise, usually those things that I have just mentioned, they're either not apparent or we don't possess them at that moment. They're just not with us. Something else is clouding us and stopping us from being gentle and stopping us from being patient, stopping us from being open to possibility, stopping us from just seeing the good in the other person, just recognising the other person as part of God's creation. Foolishness identifies a person initially perhaps by their gender, by the colour of their skin. Foolishness identifies the other by the language that they might use. I'm talking cultural language or ethnicity. So when we look at foolishness, it is sometimes we hold a mirror up to ourselves and there are things that we do not like about ourselves. That is not necessarily foolishness. The spiritual authors would say that we should hold a mirror up to ourselves because that's what the world sees. And if there's something in there that you don't like about yourself on the physical level, that is foolishness. But what the world doesn't see is the heart of the person. Wisdom draws the heart out. Wisdom allows us to be who we truly are. Wisdom allows us to live our life respectfully with whatever our frailties may be, because wisdom says don't judge. Foolishness causes us to judge. And we possess both wisdom and foolishness in our very selves. There's no doubt about that. And that's reflected in the fact that the 10 bridesmaids, they all went to sleep. They would have all been teenage girls related to the groom's side of the family. But the 10 of them went to sleep. So that's not a problem, but 10 of them went to sleep being prepared. Five of them went to sleep being prepared, and 5 of them weren't prepared. Wisdom says, be prepared. Be prepared to put up with sometimes the unknown, the unexpected, and look at it carefully. Don't judge it in the immediate. Perhaps wisdom sometimes says to us, don't go through the gate, step back. Wisdom says, listen, I say again. You will have noticed that, but that's what we're looking for in the Synod of Bishops in Rome that has just concluded week before last. For the first time, as the bishops came together, the layout for the synod is one that is quite normal and natural for Australians, but it's not normal and natural for Italians and for the church, especially leadership in the church. Normally, to gain wisdom, the hall where the synod debates took place or the synod sessions took place, they weren't debates, you would have the Holy Father here and then all the senior cardinals, then the lesser cardinals, then the archbishops, then the bishops, then the Monsignori, then the priests at the back who may be specialists, and then you'd have the unwashed, you lot, way back there. If you look at the photos of this synod, you will see that they are all in the round. There are 34 tables, I think, with people with 12 on a table, all facing each other in the round. And they didn't do that just for a two-hour meeting. They did that for a whole month. There would have been a lot of people who would normally be sitting in the front seat, I am sure, who were very uncomfortable with that situation. Because wisdom is there when we listen to each other. It's very difficult for wisdom to be exercised and to make her entrance when we're being talked at by authority. And as Pope Francis put this synod together, he wanted people to listen. And that would be the thing that I would drive home at the moment with all of our church, is as a wise church, living in the present, we can look to the future, but what that will be, I'm not sure. But at least at the moment, as we look to the future, we listen to each other. We put aside all of the judgments and assessments. We even, in Pope Francis's words, we give theology a bit of a rest. I've translated that. We let the learned, we let them just have a little bit of a rest. And let us listen from the men and the women who are in the pews right across the world. And this is a wonderful opportunity. I think it's an uncomfortable opportunity, but I do look forward to seeing where things unfold next year. It will have been quite challenging for us. And that's part of where I began with. We were fooled by the wisdom of the serpent, that which is apparent to us. And you all know it wasn't the apple. It was the pear on the ground. Thank you. But we were fooled by the wisdom of the serpent. He knew how to manipulate. But we were saved by the foolishness of God. What we see, how we live our life as people of faith, most of the world thinks we're quite foolish. And that's the foolishness of God. Yes, sometimes I don't understand. I believe, but I cannot see. That is wisdom that allows us that insight. That is wisdom. What the Holy Spirit does with that, well, we'll wait and see. The Holy Spirit allows us to prepare for our future without living our future.